Hey, Keurig coffee drinkers. Did you know that the bold, smooth taste of Dunkin' cold coffee can be brewed in your Keurig coffee maker and enjoyed at home? Dunkin's cold K-Cup pods were crafted to be brewed hot and enjoyed cold. And of course, they're packed with the Dunkin' flavor you crave. Brew over ice and sip in seconds. Because the home with Dunkin' is where you want to be.
March into spring with this unbeatable deal from Breezeline. Get reliable, fiber-powered 500 megabits internet for $39.99 per month, plus a $100 gift card and price lock guarantee. This deal gets even better with a free modem, free installation, and free Wi-Fi your way home. Safeguard your network from cyber threats and manage user access for all connected devices with this amazing offer. Act now. Terms and conditions apply. Offer expires May 6, 2024. Learn more at breezeline.com.
What's poppin', congregation? We're back with another installment of Scam Goddess. It's me, Lacey Mosley, aka Scam Goddess. This is a podcast dedicated to robbery, fraud, conery, all those who practice it. Sometimes we love them, sometimes we hate them. I'm very, yes, excited. Y'all know the deal. Y'all been here, congregation. Pull up. Very excited for today's guest. Someone who I've seen on television so much that when I saw his face, I was like, oh, okay. Yes. Love this. Y'all know I have too many jobs. I have more jobs than a Jamaican. And so I be tired a lot, but so happy to be here. He is a comedian, an actor, a writer, a producer. His credits include the co-hosting of the Adulting Podcast with Michelle Buteau. Love Michelle Buteau. Love the Adulting Podcast. Get into it. Everything's Trash is coming out on Freeform. Okay, so get into the Freeform moment. First Wives Club on BET. And The God's Honest Truth with Charlamagne. Congregation, like, I feel like the next Samuel L. Jackson, where you win a Guinness Book of World Records of just being on so many TV shows and being in so many things, that is Jordan Carlos. Like, Jordan is out here and in all the things. Welcome, Jordan. What's up?
Thank you very much, Lily. That is, I am definitely not, I will, you know what, I'm just going to take those flowers. Thank you very much. That's very kind of you to say.
We give the flowers when you were living and when you breathing and you alive. Like, I always talk about, I want to be at my funeral. Like, I got to have a fake funeral so I can see people crying and being sad about me and saying nice things. Like, I need to be there. Like, we got to give people flowers while they're alive. Like, I don't want no Instagram comments when I'm dead. I don't know if I'm going to be able to see those. I don't know if they got Instagram in heaven.
I'm sure.
Am I going to be able to check my feed when I'm dead? I don't know.
I don't know. That's a great question. Is there Instagram in heaven? Probably not. I think people just say to your face what they love about you in heaven instead of just like dashing off a little something.
Because like we'd be like, oh, my relatives watching over me. And I think about that. And yes, I hope that my grandparents are watching over me. I love them so much. I hope that all my relatives who pass are watching over me. But then I'd be thinking like, when do they get to watch? Like, are they going to be watching when I'm using my Rose masturbator? Like, I don't want them to watch over me then. If I'm at an award show, y'all watch over me, but don't be watching over me if I'm getting it in. Like, I feel like I hope that there's limits in heaven where you can't watch over people.
I'm sure there are windows.
Too much.
And there's some things that they don't want to watch. You know what I mean? Like, they're probably watching Gilded Age or something like that.
What like, if it's I don't like, want your dead relatives are like, oh, we want to pull up on Lacey. They're like, not right now. She fucking. Like,
that's when they watch Bad Girls Club. No, that's when they watch something else. They watch 90 Day Fiancé the other way. They watch other things.
You don't know? Watch just, over me when I'm doing bad shit. Watch over me when I'm winning an award or you know, doing something that you would be proud of. Don't be watching over me when I'm doing hood rat shit. They're like, you don't want to go down there right now. She's.
I think my relatives are definitely in heaven watching over me when I put pitted dates in the blender and forget to take the pits out. So I think that's kind of my MO.
That's they speaking to you. I hope the ancestors, because I do feel them when I cook. So I hope that they are watching when I cook. Like, they're like, let's go into the kitchen. Y'all pull up, all the ancestors. But don't pull up when I'm doing mess, please. Like,
They're there at all times. Just remember that. That's why it's like you got to act right all the time. You know what I'm saying? So,
but come on now. We all need our private moments. That's what I'm like. But at the same time, though, I feel like if I'm the ancestor, I would be trying to look and see the mess. Like, not my relatives having sex, but I do want to see the mess. Like,
absolutely. You want to see the mess of these parts. I know. At family reunions, it's like we get together. It's great. It's just, it's almost like you're not even broaching the surface. It's just kind of small talk. I want to get to the nitty gritty. I guess I got to.
Speaking of the nitty gritty, Jordan, I have to ask you, what is your relationship with scams? Do you love them? Do you hate them? Have you ever been scammed? It could literally be anything.
Oh, okay. I'm more in awe of scams. You know what I'm saying? Like I observe from afar. One of my favorite shows of all time is American Greed. I watch American Greed like all the time. It's so sad. I was like, why am I watching so much American Greed? And then they said, scammers often look at the work of other scammers to learn and study. And I was like, they talk about me.
Not they talk about me. No, why am I in this photo? Attack me. Yes. I love this. I always say, and y'all, I know the congregation is tired of me saying this, but scamming is a job. It is a profession. It is a learned practice. If you are really doing it, you are Charles Ponzi. Led to Bernie Madoff, you know, like the girls got the blueprints and they ran it up. So scamming is definitely something that has to be like apprenticed. Like you
absolutely.
Learn.
I mean, let's talk about the pantheon of great scammers. I mean, even like I was just really happy that Elizabeth Holmes kind of made it in.
Oh, I love the pantheon.
Yeah, that she made it in because, you know, it's just an all boys club.
It is scamming all the time. And she lowered her voice. And she was Silicon Valley hot, and she wore the turtlenecks, and she dropped out of an expensive college. She did the A, B, C, and the D of scams. And she also did the tiny thing. Like, all technology, we kind of oscillate between, oh, it's tiny and technology, that makes it fancy. Because remember when our phones were so little that you could barely, like, put your fingers on them to, like, flip phones, Nokias? Like, our phones used to be very little. And then they were like, okay, this is too little. We need to bring it up in size a little bit.
Yeah. Now we say no to Nokia. Like, it used to be back in the day, like, a Sony flip or a Nokia was everything. That was the apex of cool.
A Sidekick, that dumbass bootleg BlackBerry that you slide up. Paris Hilton had one, and I was like, I need me a Sidekick. What's going on, T-Mobile?
Jay-Z said a Motorola two-way pager. Like, all these things, I was like, I need that in my life. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, it's important that I have these things. And now it's big. But I feel that scammers, there's a very thin line between scammers and CEOs anyway. So I'm just So I'm really kind of like delving into that because I'm like, that really, that puts me in total awe. Like I'm so enamored of that, of the way that like rogue CEOs can like build a corporation, but really it's kind of like a scam. But aren't we just all fed on scams anyway? Like, isn't so much of our life just a scam? Like, I mean, I love Coca-Cola, but Coca-Cola is just like sugar water. And like, I like that more than Pepsi. Like, what am I really,
delicious,
like, isn't it all
water.
Just, yes,
delicious,
you're selling me on a
water.
Feeling. And that's what a confidence person does, right? The confidence person just sells you on a feeling. Like, like wasn't Peloton was valued at 51 bill, right? And then they had to knock it down to 9 bill because somewhere along the line, somebody said, these are just stationary bikes. You know, like that's with an iPad attached.
Okay, but it's a stationary bike with an iPad. You got a friend with you working out with you in your office, in your living room, in your closet. Like, it's vibes.
I feel you.
It's
feel
giving
you.
Vibes. I'm acting like I own a Peloton. I don't right now.
I mean,
I said right now because I might get roped into that scam. But
it's all right.
I love especially Peloton because that always makes me think of that commercial that went viral because it was the Peloton commercial where they gifted this beautiful, very thin white woman. Her husband gifts her a Peloton. Then she takes all these videos like, working out, day 3. And she looks like she's trapped. She looks like she don't want to be doing it. And we're like, hey, girl, do you need help? Blink twice. Blink 3 times. Like, Peloton got you like this? What happened, sis? Like, but then Peloton had the last laugh because during the pandemic, when all the gyms closed, they were like, aha, bitch, where you going to work out now? How you gonna have a workout instructor if you can't go to the gym, bitch, huh? Yeah, you gonna get on this iPad motorcycle and you gonna pedal away in your home. You're gonna get on a bike and go nowhere, bitch.
Do you think Peloton started the Wuhan virus? Is that what you're saying?
Low-key, that's my conspiracy theory right there, is that Peloton is the whole reason that COVID started, because they were like, oh, bitch, we're gonna get y'all. You're gonna be on a bike going nowhere. Can you imagine, like, any other thing than a stationary bike that's mobile being stationary? You would be like, this is insane. If you just got into a car and you just was, like, pedaling like the Flintstones, but it didn't go nowhere. If you got on a Lime scooter and you wasn't going nowhere, it's dumb. It's very dumb to be on a bike that does not move. And
I love
you're
it. Absolutely right. You're absolutely right. They have those for, like, swimming pools. It's like you can do a lap pool. It's like a lap, and it's just the water moving.
The water pushes against you. Yeah, so you can't go far because of the tension. Yes.
Yeah.
I know those pools.
Also, you could just go to the Y.
Right? Listen, my favorite thing before the pandemic was I would always feel like Olivia Pope, like a Black girl icon, because I would go to the wave pool and I'd do my laps and swim. And I was like, look at me. Look at me.
Oh, yeah. Oh, sure. As a Black woman,
fucking the president.
Pool? Absolutely.
The president.
A boy. Fucking the Black president. Woman? Fucking the president. It's handled. It's handled.
Yes, I was handling it in the pool, thinking about my life, just like Kerry Washington. Love that for us. That bitch got me on wine, popcorn, and swimming laps. And I loved it.
I think it's more or less like this. It's like we love to be sold on a kind of like an idea or a notion or a feeling. So if you can sell a feeling to us, then we won't worry about anything else, you know?
Honestly, it's getting a little too deep, though. Like the commercials, they be selling feelings where it's like, oh, a family. And then the mom had a miscarriage and then her second baby came out. And then at the end, they'd be like, tied for your laundry. And I'm like, wait a minute.
Exactly. I mean,
this is a laundry detergent commercial. There's a Tide commercial that literally made me cry when I went to college. It was a Black family and they're playing this song. It was like, take me home to my family. And I was crying and I was like, I am crying at a Tide commercial. What is happening? This now, doesn't feel right.
That's I used to write commercials for a living. So I can tell you right now, we'd have to tie in. The first was like we would try to go for the heart, the heartstrings, something that universalizes. Then we try to personify and make sure that whatever we're selling, the product or service, is like a person, like a good neighbor.
State
you're in
Farm
good
is there.
Hands, you know. Like,
oh, I'll
so
say
you try to,
you in good I'll hands. I'll say drop me.
That's not a good
neighbor.
I got
into too many accidents.
Okay.
And then the Black man from Allstate showed up and said, you're not in good hands anymore.
I'm handing you off. Like,
I'm handing you off. Yeah.
I feel like, but that's what people do. If they make a product or service, they got to make it so that there's like a human connection. So you make that human connection that might be missing in somebody's life and think that product or service will fill.
And now
fill
I have feelings energy. About Tide.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I get tied every time. I get tied
I'm like,
every
Tide
time.
Is my mama?
Yeah.
Tide is my granny? Tide is watching over me?
Tide got you. Tide got you. Tide was those other pair of feet on the shore when Jesus was carrying
That's the next commercial. Jordan, you might have to hop back in and throw him a few ideas. I know you booked a busy, but you might have to go back and be like, Tide got you.
Tide got you. What, you spilling ragu on your shirt? Tide got you.
Tide got you. Listen, your friends may not have you. Your family may not have you. Your therapist, you got to pay them to have you. But Tide got you.
I mean, that's it exactly. If you think about it, that's a beautiful scam. I mean, every slogan is a scam, right? So if you're talking about you talk to people's heartstrings, like their insecurities, right? Insecurities about health, wealth, all that kind of stuff, right? So
and
it's
beauty.
Like an appearance.
And I learned
and beauty, health,
all
wealth, and beauty,
of that. Right? I have a marketing degree. And I learned all of that in school, like taking marketing classes, taking classes where we made ads and ad campaigns. I learned that a lot of advertisement is like telling you you don't have enough, telling you need more things.
Absolutely. Yeah. Or it's both telling you that you need more things and then congratulating you for the things that you have.
Right.
Now, like if you have the product, sometimes like a Mercedes commercial is not really about like the new features. Like a Toyota commercial is about this new thing. They really got to sell it. They're like tap dancing out there like,
right. Oh, Toyota is selling very hard. And it's crazy that you said that because that's about to tie in right now to our first segment, What's Hot in Fraud? This is where we warn our listeners about popping scams in the zeitgeist. And more often than not these days, y'all know we get a listener letter. As always, snitch on your friends and family at scamgoddesspod@gmail.com. Just make sure the scam is retired because we don't want to what? Yes, fuck up your bag, okay? So run it up. And then when you're done running it, call me because I want to know about it. And we're talking about cars, and that perfectly goes into this story or this letter. I need a fake name for this person. Gender doesn't matter. Come up with anything,
sure,
Jordan.
Sure. Nebuchadnezzar.
Nebuchadnezzar?
I'm very biblical.
Is that what you said?
Yeah. I'm very biblical like that. I'm very biblical.
Amen. So you were raised in the church?
Yeah. Oh, child, please. I was there, like, we used to go back. We do one service in the morning on Sunday, then come back in the evening for evening service.
Now, wait, was any of your family in the clergy? Because my papa was a deacon, so I was always at church as a kid. No?
No.
So y'all was just kicking it?
We was just fans of Jesus.
We are Jesus's number one stands, and we got to wait outside the church after the service so we can. Wow,
my we went so hard for Jesus.
At least my papa was a deacon. I had to wait after church so he could count the money, and I sang in the choir. And I remember, so you learn the Bible as a kid, and you're very entrenched in church culture, which I was and still am. It would be so funny because I was singing in the choir, and I remember I was like 5, maybe 6 years old, and I would always get the solos. I can sing pretty decent. And
I'm sure.
And one week, the choir director, Miss Pat, who was married to our preacher, was like, oh, well, we got to let somebody else sing this week. Like, you can't sing every week the lead. And I was like, but why not? I was like, God got to use us, and we all got to be used with our individual gifts. And y'all trying to let Sherman sing, and his gift is passing out the pamphlets. His gift is walking around with the offering tray. But his gift is not singing. Like, if we're doing Jesus's bubbling in my soul, like, let me sing it because it's going to bubble down. Like,
yeah. I mean, hold on. Where are you from?
I am from Dallas, Texas. And the church that I grew up in is called Oak Grove Missionary Baptist Church.
Baptist Church. Yeah, I know.
I'm a missionary Baptist.
I'm from Dallas.
Oh, you're from Dallas?
I'm from Dallas. Yeah. I went to Munger and I went to New Hope Baptist Church.
What?
In Sunny South. Yeah.
Okay.
Take 45 is right there.
Okay. Yeah.
I know, girl.
My first introduction to a scam church was going with my cousins to the Potter's house. And I remember being a kid.
Whoa, this is the end of the podcast. You can't be out here. What you not going to do?
Listen, I love TJ's. Wow. It's no shade. I was just very alarmed as a child when people came around for the...
I got to stop my video.
No! When people came around for the offerings,
yes,
you know, you got the love offering on Pastor's anniversary. You got there's like tithing, and then you also have another offering, right? But when the credit card swiper came around, I was like, oh, wait a minute. And it's technology. You don't got cash to give to Jesus. You got to give Jesus crypto. Hey. I get it. But the
people in Dallas could hear this, Lacey. People in Dallas could hear this.
My mama
so we
gonna
love
kill me.
You. We love you, TD Jakes.
We do love TD Jakes.
Yeah, we love you. Jordan Carlos loves you, TD Jakes. Didn't talk no mess about you. I love that you own that house on White Rock Lake, bruh.
I am woman thou art loose right now.
Wow.
Giving looseness.
Wow, now, you're gonna talk about the Potter's house with the rumble seats and everything like that. They got the stadium seats.
They do. Listen, I love the Potter's house. And you want to talk about good Jesus bops? The Jesus the Jesus bops be slapping the you know what I mean? Like the wait, it starts with a B. Not benediction, but
not the benediction. I know what you're talking about.
You know what I'm talking about where we sing.
Yes, absolutely. The ooh.
Ooh.
What was it? What is it? It'll come to us. Or
no,
we'll wake up at 3 in the morning screaming.
Or yeah. Judith is probably Googling right now to figure out what we're talking yeah. about. But there's
go to
like...
the program. First of all, you need to go open the program and see the announcements.
Yep. And you know, it's always, this is what I love about Texas Black churches.
Unbelievable.
The Black queen who gives the announcements.
Yes, yes.
She always has to over enunciate. So it's like, giving all thanks to God, pastor. Like, it's very, it's just
the pastor
so good.
Is not paying attention, by the way. He's like not paying, he's never paying attention. And they're trying to get the attention of the pastor, like half giving it to the, like,
right?
First giving honor to God. And
first giving honor to God as yes. the one of my life, the lead of my life,
the light of my life.
I got to yes. go back to church.
My rock and my redeemer.
Yes, amen.
That we, yeah.
I'm glad that we're bringing this up too, because I had Jaquise Neal on another episode in the past, and we got dragged because I thought that the preacher's anniversary was them celebrating their wedding anniversary. And I was always like, why we got to pay for them to have a honeymoon? Why are we bringing them chocolate-covered strawberries for them to, like, get it on in his name? What's
Excuse
going
me.
On? And it's the anniversary of the pastor at the church. And I don't know how yeah. I grew up in the church for that long and never understood that pastor's anniversary was his anniversary for being at the church and not his anniversary with his wife.
His wife. Right. I mean, things have changed, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, I think a lot of pastors have learned. They've learned about payroll and good books and like making
yeah.
sure the church's money is not, they launder it so that it's.
I want pastors to be rich. I think that it is important for people to know you can love God and make coins and make coins helping people and being okay. benevolent and being a community organizer. And I've had some excellent yeah. pastors. Shout out to Reverend Joshua, Shiloh Missionary Baptist. He wrote my college recommendations, and it was a wow. big church. And he yeah. still took the time to write my college recommendations. Like, that's why yeah. I'm very like with churches. Churches are very ripe for scams. Very easy to be scams. But also there are people who are like good intentioned and are doing the right thing.
Because people sometimes show up, especially to mega churches, when it's like praise and worship. But people show up to mega churches. Especially
I go
in a time
on
of
high
crisis.
Holiday now. As an adult, I go okay. on high holiday.
You're a CME Christian.
Yes, I am now. Because yeah. it's like Easter Sunday, Christmas, like it's
Mother's
certain
Day.
Times, Mother's Day, yup. Like yep. it's certain times where I gotta have my black ass in the church because that's just how I was raised. And I don't wear
that's
pants to church. I've only worn pants to church one time in my life, and it was because I had to go somewhere after where I had to wear pants. And I remember one of my relatives being like, your grandma would be rolling in her grave because I had pants on.
Look,
I have church skirts and church dresses to this day.
Like, wow.
Yeah.
Black church is one of the last bastions left where people actually dress up for church.
Oh, yes.
White
if you're
going to
dress up for the club, why are you not dressing up for Christ? If you busting it down on Saturday night, you got to also bust it in his name on Sunday.
Bust it in his name on Sunday?
Yes.
That's trademarked. You got to put that on a magnet. That's amazing.
Amen.
Bust it in his name.
On
Yo.
Sunday. But we gotta get into this hot and frothy.
Get into this splitter.
Give me the name again. I already forgot it.
Nebuchadnezzar.
Okay, so never says hello, hello. Oh, giving us a church greeting. Hello, hello. Yes, never.
Hello, hello.
So to kind of explain without over explaining, I appreciate that because I done told y'all these letters sometimes are too long for me to read on the main podcast. I need y'all to tap it down. Like give me the points. Like it's giving novel, and what we need is tweet, you know, 240 characters, stop, you know?
Yeah.
So not to over-explain, I'm getting scammed by corporate America. Of course you are, because that's what always happens to all of us.
What?
My vehicle is a 2010 Mercury, which is made by Ford and uses the same parts. There was a recall issued on the steering system briefly, and basically it explained that the steering wheel power on my car will suddenly turn off while driving, making it extremely hard to turn the wheel. After finally finding a dealer that would accept my vehicle in an attempt to do the recall and repair that Ford promised to pay for, I'm left waiting for the critical parts and carless for over 2 months now. The dealer keeps telling me that the repair cost is 100% covered, but there is not available parts to perform the repair. Eye roll, that's what they wrote. What good does that do me? I know. And I'll pause here just for 1 second because I want to say I had a Ford Focus, and the one that I had was a lemon, basically. And look, Ford, I'm not shading y'all. If y'all sponsor this podcast, I love Ford. But when I had a Ford, I got recall notices all the time, and you better than me, because I would get a recall notice in the mail and I would open it up and it'd be like, hey, the doors might fly off your car.
Real quick.
Just want to let you know. And I'm not even playing. It literally said, like, the door might fly off. And I was like, well, I'm not going to get that checked on. Like, I'm just put my seatbelt on and hope for the best.
Please tell me that you have a cover on your phone.
I do. I have phone cases all over my phone. I have all the phone cases. I got the case. I got the screen protector. I drop my phone constantly.
But the Ford, you're not worried about that? You're just going to keep rolling? Just like, keep it moving.
Why would I keep going? You better than me, sis. I'm glad you did this. So they said, I dropped off the vehicle in January and it's now early April and I've been calling to receive updates. On the last call I had with the service manager, I asked him to give advice on what he would do if he was in this situation. And his words verbatim were, in quotes, I would curl up into a ball and cry. What?
Interesting. Helpful.
It's not service. And that's literally what they said. This is not helpful at all. So beware if you ever have a recall specifically for a Ford recall. Make sure that there is available parts for your vehicle repairs, or you might be in the same boat as me without a car or feeling very stressed out. Right now, because of COVID, factories and all factories, so clothing, like everything, has been slowed down because of COVID. So right now they're trying to buy everybody car up and be like, hey, give us your car back because the girls want it and we don't got that piece, you know? Okay. And I was tempted to do that because I keep getting reached out to by my dealership and they're like, give us your car back, upgrade, get another car. And I'm like, I would do it, but it seems like y'all don't have cars. It seems like if I give you this back, yeah, you're going to give me money, but then I'm not going to have a vehicle to to vehicleize.
The trade-in market isn't there.
Right. I'm not going to be able to go to point A to point B because I'm going to give you my car and I'm not going to be able to go.
Could it be better for this person to just sell the car for parts? They get that cash and try to get a new car?
Ooh, that might be the move.
You sell it for parts, yeah. I'm just saying, you sell it for parts. Absolutely. Get those parts, those essential parts, the chassis, this, that, the third. And then, like, you sell that, then you should have enough for a down payment on another car.
That might be the move, y'all, because don't sell your car back if the girls aren't trying to give you another car.
Exactly.
So in addition, they say, when I first dropped off of my vehicle to get repaired, I rented a car for 2 weeks because I thought that would be a sufficient time frame to allow for the work to be done, which it should have been. 2 weeks, fix my steering wheel. Also, Ford, y'all, come on now, Ford. Like, we try to buy American, but it's very ghetto. And it's like, look, I love Detroit. I want the auto business to boom, but I need y'all to do better because I got so many recall notifications on my American-made car.
Oh, for real?
It's like, oh, the door's going to fly off. Oh, hey, sis, the brake might stop working. Do you need brakes? Like, would you like to stop when you go? Is that something that you want? Because we didn't think when you had bought it that you needed to stop. We just thought you wanted to go. And I'm
keep going.
I think we all want to be able to stop. I just think that's
what
an essential part of a car.
What if you could just accelerate forever?
I don't want to get to my destination and fly past it because I can't stop. I'm not trying to tuck and roll out the car to get to the destination.
All you got to do to pull up is just get that emergency brake going. You get the emergency brake, you fishtail it like Fast and the Furious 10.
I don't want to have to crash every time I need to park.
You gotta do it like Vin Diesel.
I don't want to do Tokyo Drift.
No, you gotta Tokyo Drift. It's great. It's great.
No, it's cool. Just run into the wall. tell your homie who you driving, like, yeah, unlock that door, girl, because we almost there. And we're gonna have to hop out.
Just do a nice ninja roll. Just tuck and roll. You're good.
I don't like that for me, Ford. I don't like that for me.
I think this is great advice to give this person.
They said, when I fell victim to the scummy practices of a rental company. Oh. So she got the 2-week rental thinking that was all it was going to take. Now she fallen into another scam and hurts. She says, I paid for a $470 rental through Priceline online prior to receiving my car. And then once I picked it up and signed for the car, I was also charged an additional $560 plus a $200 deposit. Yeah. That's another $760. Like, sis, you did it on Priceline.
Crazy.
How am I renting a car and then you're like, hey, girl, so good that you're here. We gonna need another G. What?
We're going to need a hold of that. Was she paying with a debit card? She's not saying, so maybe she was paying.
Maybe. I explained to the counter agent that I was using my own auto insurance, but somehow was tricked into signing up for their coverage as well. I was under the impression that my signature was for me waiving my right of coverage if I did damage to their car. I also thought this $760 charge was the deposit and would fall off of my credit statement. But only the $200 fell off. I am disputing the charge with my credit card and looking into legal action to prevent this from going into my credit report. Another scam in itself, because credit came up in the 80s. Like, a bunch of old white dudes were like, let's make credit. You know? How can we discriminate? How can we make poor people pay more for being poor? Credit. It's like, oh, we know you poor, so you would have to go charge you more, because when you poor, we worried that you're not going to pay us. So you actually have to pay more than the rich people because you're poor. Why? Why?
Well, I mean, I think it's like you don't want to punish people's success. You know, like when, you know, like rich people have money, so it's good that they shouldn't be taxed. Poor people need to get their stuff together.
Look, rich people have money to no fault of their own. Not like they had parents who had money. Not like they had opportunities to get money more than other people. No, not just random. And this,
I mean, what I'm hearing, I'm just like, don't hate, don't put hate on your plate. You know what I'm saying? Just let
not
these
to
rich
be in
people...
a billionaire stand, Jordan.
Yeah, I'm out here being a billionaire stand because I'm trying to get them to be my friends.
Jordan got posters of Elon Musk up at his house.
Oh my God. I'm just trying to get invited to the lake house. Just Elon, if you can hear me, first of all, Potter's House, we love you. Elon, you were in Texas too. Come up for church or TD Jakes. What's up, bro? Then we go to the lake house.
Then we go to the lake house.
Rich people got a lake house. I just want to go to the lake house. That's all I want. Right. That's all I want.
Are you even rich if you don't have a house near water? You got to have a house on the water, near the water. Yes.
In the water. You're doing it wrong if you're not.
I want a house in the middle of the Pacific.
Oh,
like, yeah, we're doing construction out there. No, it's in the ocean.
You know, y'all Jay and Bay got that.
Keep
you
walking into the beach, right? I'm like, no, y'all keep bring y'all's tools. Keep walking into the ocean. Y'all building it in the ocean.
For real.
It's cool. I need this.
I feel so bad for this person.
I do too. But I do want to say this person is saying rental car insurance is a scam. And I used to think that because you can put if you have car insurance, a lot of covered like plans will let you put your rental car on them so you don't have to pay that extra money. If you are a good driver, go up, do that. I'm a bad driver. I did it once where my mom calling you out. I was on the phone with my mama and she was like, we have good insurance. Like, just put it on the insurance. And she forgot that I'm a terrible driver. I got into a fucking car accident and totaled a rental car and had to pay out. And it was like I ran up on a curb and like hit some city property on my way to shoot single parents. And I was like, well, I still got to get to work. So I'm going to call an Uber and be out. Like, y'all deal with the car, take it away. I don't know. Like, oh, no. And then that went on my insurance and I had to pay for it. And then my insurance was like, girl, we actually don't fuck with you anymore.
Like, oh, God.
You a bad driver. Like, girl, we already had your car in the shop because of the transmission just stopped on the Ford that I had. It was like, we good. We actually don't want to move no more. So I already had a car in the shop, and then I wrecked a rental car, and they were like, all right.
You're out here on Demolition Derby. First of all, they made you self-report on single parents. That is a hate crime. I don't like that at all. Okay. They need to get the... get the Teamsters down here. I'm going to talk to the Teamsters right now. Hold up. TD Jakes, Elon Musk,
pick
what's up?
Me up?
We need to talk to Jimmy Hoffa, the Teamsters. We need to pick up. You know what I'm saying? Those Teamsters love to come early, way before your call time. They're like, we coming at 5. Like, right. Yo.
I should not be on the road. It's just, it's not fair to everyone, including me.
It's all a scam. You know, I mean, I feel like this person, they just seem like really, I bet they have kind eyes and work with children.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
But also like, yeah. We all have this kind of social contract when it comes to businesses, where when you go in, we all sign the contract without reading every line item. We all get the update on Apple. Apple be like, we got new terms. And honestly,
like,
the new terms could be like, also, we can have your kidney. Like... if you on life support and we decide to pull the plug at Apple, we gonna get your organs. And I've signed it. Like, I can't read all of that. No one reads it all. So we all have a social contract of not reading the contract because we trust that it's not gonna be no wild shit in it. And so this person is saying, like, read those rental car contracts. And, like, I'm with you. I'm with you, miss.
But how can you do that when you're at the counter? That's really hard to do. But it is important.
That's what's... the thing about scams is that a lot of times we get scammed because of our desperation level. We call it the despo meter. Like, if you need a car, you don't have a car. If you need something, it's like, I'm leaving with something. I gotta do this. And so then you sign your life away.
Oh, Lord. I mean, you know, that's true. That's true.
Or if you're broke, you might click on a link that's like, oh, you're going to make $1,000 turn into $10,000. And you're like, I could really use $10,000. I'm going to click on this link. And then they'll stole your whole identity.
I feel like, listen, I think that OnlyFans is always available for people with nice feet. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can do a lot of things without having to show.
What's your toes looking like? Because you might have to become a toe professional.
And you can get the foot deal out here.
If you've listened to this podcast, you know I used to bartend foot fetish parties.
And oh, no. Oh, yeah, what?
In New York at Karma Lounge on First Ave. Yeah.
And you know what? I don't even mind feet, but that's too much feet.
It was a lot of feet, but the foot community was very nice. They tipped very well, and I love them. Shout out to the foot
that's amazing.
Girls and thems and theys and men. The foot community was very kind to me, so I'm not mad. I never busted my toes out. But honestly, it's just because my feet in person, like, not that good. I always tell y'all, please boost my wiki feet. Keep me at 4.5 stars because it's a lie. It's a scam. My feet look like I've been dancing in bricks and playing in glass and, you know, kicking walls. You know, they don't. They're utility feet.
Worse.
I get a manicure.
What are feet like? Feet keep you up.
Some people got feet that are sexy feet. They look good.
I actually have nice feet. Like,
I was about to say, yeah. I feel like you have nice feet.
I have nice feet. They're nice. They're veiny, but not too veiny.
Ooh,
it's good.
I like a little veininess. That means you're healthy and then strong. Oh man,
absolutely.
I look here once you put your feet on the Zoom. I might be a feet person myself. Throw a toe on the Zoom for me.
Too exploitative. Hate to see a doe foot. A doe foot is the worst. Like, you know, a doe foot, just like, it's like somebody's foot is just like dough. It just looks like pounded pizza dough. With just,
I
kind of
like
out.
A doe foot. I like when a foot looks soft. I like all the feet. I might be a foot person. Maybe that's why I enjoyed bartending.
I think
the foot
you
nights,
might be a foot fetish.
I was like, this is good for me. I'm having a good time. I get to see some great feet. And yeah. Make money. Why not?
But I think the scam is that sometimes people can be apologists, right? So yeah. It's like, if we want to buy American, if we want to go for it, I'm with that too. You know what I'm saying? I try to do that as much as possible. But you can't be an apologist to the point of a fault where it's like you're like a sucker, right? So I feel like you have to use that agency. Like, get out of the scam. Get out. You know, my friend just got hacked on Instagram.
Right.
And so like that person, all they wanted to do right away with a lot of broken English was to scam all the people's friends. Mm-hmm. And like, and they were sending me these weird messages and
mm-hmm. trying like, to get what? You to click on a link, trying to be mm-hmm. like, oh, this is me, your friend. Hello, this is me, you friend. And I need you, friend, to click on Lanka. It's supposed to be Link, but it's spelled like Lanka. Like, yeah, it's wild. And like, so this person said that I felt pressured to sign something I thought I understood, but clearly did not understand, which we've all been in that position. And even more scummy was the verbal agreement from the counter agent. It was completely different than what was written and what I actually signed. And then in a little quote, she has facepalm. I know. No, listen, if you write into this podcast, I will not judge you. There is no judgment. I've been scammed. I've run scams. We not judging over here. I understand you needed a rental car and times was hard. And right. I get it. And also, like, your car was in the shop to no fault of your own. The girls hit you up and said, do you need to stop? Do you need to turn your wheel? Like, is wheel turning important to you in your vehicle?
You find that to be fundamental to you driving? You know, I feel like I will say that this person has like heavy Aquarius energy and doesn't like conflict. Heavy Aquarius energy doesn't like conflict.
It's given Aquarius. Yo, tell us which sign you are when you hear this. And then at the end, it says, please, all young, experienced people, ask 101 questions about a contract that you're signing, even if you think you understand. Make sure. I know everyone doesn't have a trusted, experienced person to help them out. So just make sure you can educate yourself as much as possible. And then they said, please don't make fun of me too much. It's been a stressful 2022 for me so far, but I thought my story might bring awareness to some other young person. We're not going to drag you, sis. We're not going to make fun of you.
No.
I absolutely have been there. I signed the rental car agreement and it went down bad. Guys, we're going to take a quick break for some non-scam advertisements and we'll be back with my favorite part of the show, Historic Hoodwinks. Scams!
Close your eyes. Open your mind. And imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials. Aren't you all of a sudden Diane Keaton walking on a sand beach thinking about your life? Yes, you can get this kind of luxury with unbeatable prices at Quince because they're here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within your grasp, honey. They have 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops. Y'all know I have the silk tops. I actually just went back and got the washable silk slip dresses. I got one in red, I got one in cream, and I got one in black because I'm about to be out here stunting in my quiet luxury. Y'all know I love the sweatsuits. I actually went back and got the sweatsuit in blue and pink, and I got the shorts. They got shorts to match with the sweatsuit too, so when it's hot girl summer, I can have my thighs out, but my arms can be warm. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Hoochies never get cold. So indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/goddess for free shipping on your order and 365 day returns. That's quince.com/goddess to get free shipping and 365 day returns. quince.com/goddess.
If you're a person with titties, bras are so uncomfortable and constricting, and now we finally like have something that's changing, that Skims is changing, that Skims bras, they're worth the hype. They're amazing, the shape, the support that they give, but also they're, like I said, comfortable with you on your nipple. Okay. I love the Fits Everybody bra in Onyx, which is like the black one. Like that's normally like the clothes that I'm wearing and stuff. But like, I also really love the wireless form push-up plunge bra because, you know, you sometimes you gotta give a little cleave, a little titty. Okay. You know what I mean? Make it cute. So shop Skims bras at skims.com. Now available in 62 sizes, 30A to 46. H. Plus, get free shipping on all orders over $75. If you haven't yet, be sure to let them know we sent you. After you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select our show in the drop-down menu that follows.
Cut! And we are back. And talking about American hustle, scamerican hustle, let's get into historic hoodwinks. I'm going to regale Jordan with a famous con or caper group of criminals. We're going to get his opinions all throughout. And let's see what the vibes are. So we're throwing it back. We're throwing it back. I want to note that the story is heavily sourced from Ted Sherman's NJ.com article, Jersey Hustle, The Real Life Story of Ab Scam. Okay, so y'all get into that. Go on over there. See what Ted was talking about after this, because it's good. What started as a routine operation to catch art thieves turned into a massive FBI operation that employed a con man and shady operators to tackle some of Washington's biggest politicians. Years later, it would become the loose inspiration for the movie American Hustle. So the beginning, Go Ab Scam, started in July of 1978. We weren't alive. With a routine operation to catch prominent figures from the New York City undercover world in illicit dealings. So they were like, we're doing our hater job and we're going to stop the people from getting their bags because that's what government institutions do. They're haters. Meter yes. maids, the biggest haters in the world. Honestly.
Wow, it's true.
I hate it because I've been ticketed so many times, but I low-key also love it because I be seeing them sons of bitches waiting at meters for the shit just to lurking, expire. Lurking.
Yeah. And you never taken quarters. I sometimes just do like a quarter, like a meter angel, and I'll just like put quarters on for fun.
Oh, I love you, Jordan. You're a meter angel.
Sure. Ruin people's you ruin the meter maids. Day.
Yes, because look, they trying to get them markups, especially at the end of the month. Like, whenever they got to turn in their quotas, I see them become more aggressive. Now, sometimes I understand, because I'm like, yeah, it's traffic. We do need these cars out of the way. But a lot of times they be hating. And they always love to be like,
it's straight boo-boo.
Yeah, I already started writing the ticket. That's their favorite line. You walk up to your car, you run up to your shit out the restaurant, and they're like, I already started. I'm like, bitch, no, you didn't. No, you didn't. You're still writing down my VIN number right now, you raggedy bitch. Leave. Walk away.
Like, they're like, I can't. Once I start writing, I can't stop writing. I can't do it.
One of my favorite scam tips to give y'all, and I haven't said it in a while, and I know our episodes go behind the paywall, but it's like, if you see your car getting towed, get inside of it. Because if you get inside the car, they legally can't tow it. Hop your ass in your car while they're loading it up on the truck and stop them. If you see it get towed, that's all you got to do. Hop in. What they going to do?
That sounds like California. That does not sound like New York. They will take your whole ass.
New York will definitely take your whole ass in the car. They'd be like, no, you're just going to be along for the ride then since we're going to the tow shop. In LA, you hop in that bitch. They're like, okay, legality.
Like, oh my God.
We'll unload you.
Yeah. You're
hop
human.
Into your car,
I'm so
y'all.
Sorry. Yeah.
If you see it happening.
I will say this, that racket, what they were trying to do, that operation, I thought that was amazing. And, you know, more amazing was the movie. I mean, like, hey, Jeremy Renner, you got Christian Bale and Amy Adams. I love that movie. I didn't even know what it was about, really. At the end of it, I was like, what happened? You know what I mean?
But you don't need to. And that's what we love about it. I love leaving a motion picture being like, huh?
Yeah, you're like, yeah, real American Hustle did take place.
I had a
place,
good time, but what? Like, what happened?
I guess, Lacey, I scammed you because guess what? I was alive in July of 1978. I was born in February of 1978. That's all right. I do a lot of cardio. I got good knees. And
you
I got a boyish hair, head of hair. That's what it is.
You have a boyish face. I definitely didn't think you were alive in 78.
Get my 8 hours a night. Ooh. Try to get my 8 hours a night.
You be drinking water.
Yes,
I
do.
It be
electrolytes. Well, my people come from Mississippi. You know what it is. You know what it is.
From Mississippi too? I have so much family in Mississippi. Jackson and Biloxi. A lot of family.
This is getting really weird. We might be cousins.
And now we both live in Dallas. Are we cousins? Yeah, I'm glad that.
Cousins.
We might be cousins. We really might be.
That's a weird thing because isn't it weird about Mississippi where you have to actually be like, are we cousins?
Oh, bro. People didn't understand that. The only relationship I've ever had in my life was in college. And I brought him home because I told my family I was in a relationship. I told him, I was like, if I tell them I'm in a relationship with you, they're going to want me to bring you home. You're going to have to come home. So my parents flew him out and my mom threw a party for August birthdays. My mom's a big Leo. She gonna throw an August birthdays party just so she could have everybody put their eye on them. And it was also because it was like, we gotta make sure we're not cousins. Like, come home. Let's do the family tree and make sure we're not cousins. We're gonna figure
what's
it
up,
out.
Cause?
We're gonna have the ancestry. We're gonna ancestry because it might be. So this is the story of
talk
them, the FB and the I, yes, hiring all of these people to help them uncover these illicit dealing art people, right? In order to pull off this extensive operation, the FBI hired a bona fide convicted con man. That con man was Mel Weinberg.
Oh.
Okay, Weinberg. For reference, Mel was depicted by Christian Bale in American Hustle. So now we're looking at Mel.
Well, hold
Mel
on.
Got a cigar in his mouth.
Stand by.
He looks like he does crime.
Yo, that is... that.
If you just constantly have anything in your mouth, a toothpick, a cigar, if you have an oral fixation, you are a criminal. I have one. If you need
you're
something in your mouth,
to your criminality.
I am. If you got something in your mouth all the time, you do crime. That's what
this guy. Oh my God.
Oh yeah,
that was Christian Bale in the movie. Yeah.
That's Christian in the movie.
He was just drinking olive oil the whole time. God,
right.
Damn.
How did he get that thick? You
bloated.
Know,
absolutely.
Actors love to like get thick or lose a bunch of weight to be like, I really am dedicated to the role. Not me. You'll never see me changing my physical appearance for a role. No, thank you. I'm good.
No, come on. You don't want to be like what's his name? De Niro? You don't want to be like
no,
De Niro? Like,
I don't want to be like Charlize Theron and Monster. Shout out to her. Movie's fire, but I'm not gaining weight and plucking out my eyelashes from my eyeballs for a role. No.
But she got the Oscar for that.
She did.
That's what it takes.
I
would like to do that for like, they didn't even ask me.
I want
that.
Us both to get the Samuel L. Oscar where they're just like, you've been in so many movies, we owe you one. And then they just give it to me. Like, you made
amazing.
Motherfucker iconic. Here's your statue. Like, that's what I want. I'm not trying to change my appearance and pull out my eyebrows and cut my hair. Like Fontaine and Les Mis. I ain't trying to do that.
Do you think Sam could win it? Because I feel like Sam is almost too much of a stage actor because he started stage. That it's hard sometimes to translate to the screen exactly what people want on the screen.
I don't know. It's all a scam. Because, like, there's just entertainers who are entertaining. And we know who the girls are. And Sam is one of the girls. So it's like, if y'all not going to throw him his gold statues, y'all playing. Like,
yeah, absolutely. They gave Will Smith the statue. I didn't get
woo!
To see. Yeah.
Woo! Yep.
Yeah.
And now he can't come back for 10 years, child. What?
Oh, Lord. Oh,
crazy.
Lord. What
crazy.
Did they do? What did they do?
Too much. So Mel was such a legendary con man that even one of his victims, a Pittsburgh laundry owner, said, in quotes, oh, he was good. It was worth the money to watch him. He was very smooth. I love that. You got robbed. You said I had a good time. And I love that. I want you to have a good time getting robbed. Among the many scams he committed, Mel sold cheap Italian glasses to Italian Americans by sticking Made in Italy stickers on them. They was trying to support their community. Love it. He offered loans to people with bad credit for a $1,000 processing fee and would tell them they weren't approved and refused to give the fee back. Now,
that's going to make a lot of enemies.
That processing fee is too high. But Mel looked like he got hands. He looked like he in the mob.
Yeah.
I don't think I would ask for my $1,000 back. I'd just be like, wow, Mel, this hurts.
You got big old sausage hands. He would fuck you up.
Mel, you look like you've definitely killed several people. And I don't want to be on that list. I don't want to be in that number when the Saints go
marching in.
I'm not trying to march right now to the kingdom and to the king.
Nah,
take me to the king, but not right now. Later.
Right.
So let me ask
you this. So that's Christian Bale. But what about the Jeremy Renner character? Who was that?
So we're gonna see. So the setup is an elaborate fake investment company.
Okay.
He earned $1 million untaxed annually from this investment company. Mel said it was the biggest, sweetest con game ever born and a hell of a moneymaker. I was very democratic. No matter who sent them, I scammed them. Wow.
I love
he
that.
Got $1 million from being like, I am going to give you a loan and you're going to pay me $1,000. And then the loan never came. And then he took their money. Wow. I've never seen a business like this. Your business is robbery. You literally just robbed people and made $1 million.
That's not a rocket mortgage? I have no idea.
According to Mel, he operated on the philosophy of hope. Okay, Obama. Okay. Right. Hope and change, give people's change. He was hoping that people would give them some their change.
Love it. Love it.
Yes. So when his victims were got, they were still hoping for the real deal. So the victims would get got and they were like, no, he gonna come through. Mel's gonna do this. He's actually gonna give us the money. And he was like, no, I'm not. I'm literally running on vibes. Just vibes.
Turns out. Just vibes. Yeah.
That's it. The FBI arrested Mel in 1977 when a Pittsburgh real estate agent who was scammed finally went to the B in the I. And then he got arrested. He managed to get out of it by agreeing to help the FBI in exchange for not serving the 3 years in prison he had been sentenced to, which is something that is so common in America. If you're a good criminal, if you're an excellent, top-notch, A-plus student criminal, the government would be like, oh, girl, you don't got to go to jail. Can you just teach us? Can you just tell us the ways?
You're too good.
You're too good for prison. We actually need to be like, do you want to do a TED Talk for the FBI and I? We would just love your feedback. So that's what he became. And I love that. He was like, I'm too good of a criminal. You want me to ride in jail with all these skills?
Like, you can't put like LeBron.
No, you don't put LeBron in prison.
Yeah, you don't do that.
You have him teach youth basketball. Mm-hmm. You know? Tell the girls how to do the layups and the lay downs. I know basketball. Like,
do good.
Yes. So the agreement also came with a hefty payday, about $150,000, as well as a promise that they weren't going to go after his English mistress, Evelyn Knight, as his accomplice. Ooh, you're doing scams. You got a bad bitch with an accent. Let's see Evelyn. Because I need to know, is she a baddie with an accent?
About the ride or die. Giving? It's about the ride or die. Okay.
Oh, yes, Evelyn. You better lay down. You better lay down in this photo. Evelyn was a baddie. This is before retouching. Yeah. This is before we had airbrush. This is before we had Facetune. So Evelyn was a certified baddie. And she was British. And I feel like I trust British people more. Like, if you start talking to me like this and I'm like, give me your social security number, I would be like, oh, absolutely. Like, you can absolutely have my social security number, you bad bitch. From England.
Absolutely, because down deep in our reptilian brains, because we were once ruled by England, we'll do whatever they say.
Right. We like, that's our aunties.
Yeah. Yeah. They're like, please give me more money.
And that's how you know America's a scam country, because we were Brits. And then the Brits was like, let's go colonize. And they came over to America and stole everything and killed everybody and was like, actually, we don't want to pay y'all taxes no more. We feel too far away to pay taxes. It's just it's giving distance.
It's giving distance. It's giving We're not connected anymore. No, we're not connected. Yeah,
we're gonna throw your tea in the harbor, and the girls are not participating in the UK anymore.
Can I just say that if I'd had this kind of lecture when I was in high school, I really would have passed AP history with my colors.
If instead of the Boston Tea Party, they were just like, we gonna throw your tea in the harbor, and girls, we will not be giving you coins.
Yeah, the drunk black history that you're giving right now is very helpful.
Taxes? No, thank you.
Taxes. Yeah.
So the FBI employees John Good and Anthony Amoroso posed as representatives of the wealthy sheikh that owned the Abdul Enterprises. That's where Ab from Ab Scam comes from.
Right.
A fictitious man named Kambir Abdul Rahman acted as a middleman. They even got a bank to back up claims that they made. Mel would invite targets to meetings, hoping that the broker would be able to create a deal between them and the sheikh and the seller, and then they would catch them on tape. So they're doing these illegal art dealings, and they're like, okay, well, we got the candid cameras. We're giving Chris Hansen, for the girls who know, to catch a predator. We're going to pop out with the lemonade and cookies and be like, why are you here?
Yeah, well,
Mr.
good.
Predator. Love it. Though Mel was barely controlled by his FBI handlers, and a quote, the sting worked. And within a couple months, they recovered two 17th century paintings, one worth $1 million that had been missing from 1966.
What?
Yeah.
This shit worked, huh?
Mel worked because he was a true criminal. So no one ever thought he was working with the government because he gives crime energy. You saw those photos. He's giving crime.
Oh, BCE, big crime energy.
Right. Big crime energy. Yes.
Yeah.
They also arrested the criminals they caught on tape during the deal. This was despite the fact that Mel had a penchant for ordering corned beef sandwiches from a Jewish deli to a meeting that was supposed to be with an Arab prince. So you're not meat. Wow. Mel reminisced. He said in quotes, this is Mel talking, not me. Arabs don't eat kosher food. I couldn't believe what was going on. I said to myself, if we get away with this, we can get away with anything. So Mel was riding high on being a scammer for the government. Love that for
him. He knew what was up. He was just playing with his food after a while. Like, he was just...
Now you're making risky choices for no reason. Like, you're just like, oh, I know I'm eating with the shake.
Right.
But I'm also going to have the sweetie meal from McDonald's.
Well, you're saying, but to your point, when you're so desperate and you want that money, you like ignore what's in front of you mm-hmm. to get the money.
And all know? Of these shakes were ignoring the clear signs of like, what is going on here?
Absolutely. These politicians wanted what they wanted.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. When that sting went well, they decided to go after sellers of illegal securities. The agent ended up preventing the sale of $600 million worth of fraudulent stock. So now they upgraded. Wow. They were like, okay, we're doing art paintings. We're catching those people. Now we're going to upgrade to like, what are the girls doing in the SEC realm? Like,
interesting.
Stocks. The success of the right. Yeah, the success of the latest sting marked the beginning of the ABS scam. And this was their most audacious operation yet. They went after high-level government officials.
Get them. Drag them.
Drag them. Because honestly, I think that we talk about diversity and representation, and we're both people of color. Mm-hmm. But I think that we have to go deeper. It can't just be, oh, we need people who look like us or who identify how we identify, gender, queerness, whatever. Color. We also need broke people. Like, there needs to be an economy of brokenness in the government. I'm tired of it all being rich people. I think if you get too rich, they got to kick you out of the Senate. They got to kick you out. Because the Senate is where all the rich motherfuckers
are.
They're
making so much money.
They got to kick you out of Congress. You're too rich. I think we have to walk around and be like, how much does a banana cost? And if they can't say it real fast, how much is milk? And if you can't say it real quick, you gotta leave.
I love that. But like, yeah, you're right. So you're saying the day that AOC is like fumbles with their words, it's time to go?
Right. AOC actually is one of the people that I think of when I make this reference because they used to drag her. They were like, oh, she was a waitress. She can't even afford to live in DC. And I was like, and I know that's right. I love that she's broke. I wanted to stay broke because she got broke mentality and we need more broke mentality people in office who can be like, this is fucked up for broke people. Like,
broke people should be, they should totally be represented. I feel that. But you know what? I just feel like rich people, it's like they need, and I, you know, it's like, because I want to be one someday and I just don't want them to be mad at me. So it's like, you know,
you are really giving the billionaire stand hilarious commentary. Like, it's almost like you're cosplaying as a billionaire stand right now, giving their opinions. Advocating.
I'm just trying, I'm advocating because it could be me someday. That needs like the, what's it like, if I have like a $4 or $5 million estate, you know, the estate tax, you know what I mean? They're coming for me.
And we need to stop, look y'all, tell your friends, because I don't think people who listen to this podcast are billionaire stans, but please tell your friends, they are not going to be billionaires.
Wow. First of all, billionaires, we love you. Billionaires, we love you.
Billionaires, we love you so much.
We love that you scam us. We love over and over again.
If you're listening to this, it's too late. You're not going to be a billionaire.
Eric Newman, we love you. We love you at WeWork.
Don't stand them. Now we love you at WeWork.
Elizabeth Holmes, everybody needs a second chance.
Elizabeth, get back working on the tiny thing.
Bernie, I see you up there.
I can't, but like, I'm always like, it's too many rich people in government. The fact that we found out about coronavirus late as hell because they didn't want the stock markets to drop. Too many rich people in government.
Whoa. You're telling me that a small number of rich people have an advantage as far as like government is concerned, resources, opportunity.
That's crazy.
Everybody's allowed to vote. You know, everybody's allowed to vote, I think, you know, and it feels to me, Lacey, that you're like siding with these people that
this
aren't
cosplay of a billionaire.
Yeah, that aren't living up to the American dream. And you know what? And I
now aren't living up to the American dream.
And me and TD Jakes hate what you're saying. Hate me and TD. And Elon.
That reminds me of the LuLaRoe scam when LuLaRoe was selling all them leggings and having women selling leggings.
Oh, that's awesome.
They would talk to the women when they complained about the leggings being moldy because they were left outside or they're ugly and we can't sell them. They'd be like, it's your fault. You're not selling them good. You could be a billionaire if you tried harder. Like putting that blame on people who were born with less resources.
Everything is a scam like that hilarious. Puts it back on the individual. Like, for instance, I mean, my favorite when I was a kid, I used to have anxiety because it was like I watched those Smokey Bear commercials and I was the only one in the room and he would be like, only you can prevent forest fires. And I was like,
did you prevent them? Because there's been hella forest fires and you live in New York and I feel like you really should be out here putting the fires out.
It's true. I got to be a smoke jumper. I gotta be there in the fires, on the fire line, and I can't be, because it's up to me. You know what I'm saying?
Why are you not putting out the forest fires? It's your fault.
I don't know. I mean, we all love to be lied to. We all love to be sold like on a fantasy. That's what's up. I love a good fantasy. You know what
accountability.
I'm saying?
That word is such a scam because it is weaponized to be like, oh, your accountability. Like, if you want to make money, like, why weren't you born to a family that already had the resources for you to get educated? Why weren't you born in a place where they had good schools? This is your fault. And it's like, none of us asked to be born. Being born is a scam.
You're saying birth is an accident? Is that what you're saying? You're saying it's not a willful choice?
Listen, I scammed my mama. She was 21. And I popped up in her belly and was like, it's my time.
That's right. You got to do you.
I'm here to take your resources. Thank you so much, sis.
I'm always like, I'm thinking, I'm plotting and thoughting out here. I'm like, what can I do to, I love my job. I love what I do. It's amazing.
Yep.
But I'm like, what product or service, so I don't pollute the earth. What can I give that makes me billions, you know, and sells people on the feeling and or emotion. I'm thinking about it all the time. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is yet, but I think that I was put on this earth to figure it out because I was like, I'm this young looking this long. Yep. I need to figure something out.
You need to be robbing people. Absolutely. And this is a long episode, guys, but we're winding
to the end.
No, don't apologize. You good. During one deal with a black market dealer, they learn offhandedly that Atlantic City casinos were involved in some shady dealings. So they've upgraded, right? They were like, we started at art fraud. Now we into securities fraud, the stock market, things like that. Now they're like, Atlantic City, we go dip a toe as well. We're going after the government girls. We're going to get the government girls. And I love it. Allegedly, someone could get government support to build casinos by bribing corrupt politicians, which opened a can of worms. What else could they be bribed to do? Now, why y'all acting like they can't be bribed for everything? Like, the girls go up the steps, you know, to Congress, like, woo, I'm a public servant. And then there's somebody waiting on the steps, a lobbyist, like, hey, we do guns. I'm from the NRA, and we do guns. And can you keep voting for us to be able to sell wild-ass guns to people for murders? I know it sounds bad, but we're going to give you hundreds of thousands of dollars if you just keep voting for us to have guns for murders. Ignore the murder part.
I mean, that's acceptable losses. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, I feel like there's always somebody with a price tag. Absolutely. You're right.
We can all be bought. We can all be bought.
Ooh, that's a good question. Have you asked on the show what your number is
to
commit a crime?
Oh, no.
A crime that doesn't hurt, that does not physically hurt somebody.
Oh, Jordan, you go first. What's your number?
I'm probably gonna need. I'm pretty cheap. I'm probably gonna need it. I'm pretty cheap.
I'm
easily bought.
I mean, Jordan's talking about coupons. He's like, how many coupons y'all got?
Put the promo code on my you know, whatever. I'm buying me. Like, there was the lieutenant governor of New York just got arrested for bribery. He bribed, like, it was like $50,000. So I'm like, I mean, he's a politician.
That's
so I'm
too
like,
low.
It's way too low.
I'm not ruining my career for $50K. That's not lifetime money.
But that's okay. I mean, like, when you're an actor, comedian, it's okay. Like, I could do a crime and still come back. That's all right. That's right. We're talking about that's why I'm not in politics. Like, you could do plenty of stuff and still come back. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So if it's like a hacking job, or let's say I'm like, you know, it's a B&E. It's a B&E. You know what I mean? it's some light B&E.
You've thought about this.
I'm gonna need the whole 75 up front. You know,
75K.
Yeah, that's bail money. You know what
I'm
saying?
Oh no. If I'm criming, if I'm selling my soul, like, I'm at least need 32
need?
Million.
$32 million? You are wild, and that's why they'll come for you.
I want 32
they
mil.
They'll come for you.
I
they
can do some shit with 32 mil. That's what I need for me to be fully compromised and sell out the country. I want 32 mil.
I mean, I believe in you. I just feel like...
You're like, my price is too high.
No, I know. No, look. You believe, you know your own worth. So to know your own worth is really important.
Wow. That was such a black way to say it's too high. You're like, you know your own worth. If you like it, I love it. Wow.
No,
First up in their new list of targets, we must
protect black women's worth.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
First up in their new list of targets was Angelo Ericchetti, a senator and a mayor of Camden, New Jersey. Mm. So that's the first person they're going after in New Jersey.
Right.
So Mr. Angelo promised to grant gambling licenses to Abdul Enterprises for an intermediate payment of $25,000 and a total payment of $400,000. So he was like, yeah, y'all can have gambling rights. Y'all just slide me my coins. Almost half a mil. He even went above and beyond to offer to connect them with Congress people who could help the Sheikh's other business interests for compensation, of course. So he's like, I can even link y'all with the homies. If y'all want to pay a little more, we can do a networking event for crime. You know, we can have some crudité for crime. You know, we can have those small circular tables that are very high up with no chairs, but for robbery.
I'm with that.
I love that. The list of contacts he offered became the key in catching bigger fish. So now that it took the contacts that he had and were like, y'all are also corrupt, we're going to dip a toe in y'all as well. Meetings with the congressman were arranged in airports, rented homes, and an Atlantic City hotel room, and also offices. So they were meeting up everywhere. They're like, meet us at the corner of Sunset and Vine. Also meet us at the Roosevelt Hotel. Are y'all at the Waldorf? Meet us there as well.
Like, meet us at this Chuck E. Cheese in Midtown. It's going to be great. Yeah.
We're meeting up at FedEx Kinko's for fraud. Pull up. We'll be there. Buy the copier machine. Let's do it. Love this. With these meetings came swag, including charter jets, limos, and even yachts seized by U.S. Customs to hold parties on, decked out with full surveillance gear. So our government coins, your tax dollars, have been going to yachts so that they could catch criminals.
I mean, listen, we got to catch these people. This is white-collar crime. And you want...
Do we have to catch these people?
The federal BI should have some fun while they catch criminals, too. You know what I'm saying?
If the FB and the I need to be on the yacht. I don't know if they need to have a hot girl summer for fraud. Like, I love that the F, the B, and the I was like, so in this investigation, we're going to need a yacht. We're going to need 52 bottles of Dom Perignon. We definitely going to need some sushi from Nobu.
All day.
But it's for crime. It's for
government.
If I
was a special agent, I'd be real special. That'd be me. I'd be like,
I would too.
Yeah, yeah. Come on now. I need flash money. We're going to need that new Maybach. Because they'd I have be like, to impress.
Right, I have to impress. I'm playing a role. They'd be like, Lacey, you are our most expensive FBI and the I agent. Why do you always need hundreds of thousands of dollars to catch criminals? I'm like, that's what it takes.
Exactly. You want to put a dollar amount on results?
I need to get my eyelashes done. Mm-hmm. I need a hydrafacial, and I need a new weave install to catch the criminals.
I also need all these things. I need my tracks, get my tracks right. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah.
Mel is our OG criminal, right? He's the one who was criming, and then got employed by the government to continue criming. And I love him. Mel remembers that when they got the boat, Tony, Agent Omoroso, loved that boat. When it came time to name it, he said, "I'm left-handed. Let's call it Left Hand." I told him, "Tony, Left Hand means the mafia." He put it on anyway, on the boat. He was like, "Yeah, that's what we give him, mafioso."
Ow.
The meeting went like this. One of the targets would arrive at the location to meet Mayor Eric Chetty Alonzo, along with Mel and other FBI agents posing as reps of the Sheik. The meeting was secretly taped, and often the premise was that the Sheik needed a citizenship sponsor in case he needed to enter the country. So they're like leading these criminals. They're like, "We got the Sheik. He got money. He got that oil, yeah. Long money, you know, that liquid gold. And he also might need some citizenship or whatever." Often the target left with a bag of $50,000 in cash and their promises that they'd help pass special legislation of some kind or another. So they also gave them the cash.
Wow, this is wild.
Senator Harrison A. Williams was the shining prize of the operation. He was a member of Congress who had served for more than 20 years in the U.S. Senate as a liberal Democrat and World War II veteran. When you go to wars...
You hate to see it.
Politics, like, if you go to some wars, they're like, "Oh, you're that girl. We will vote for you. You went to the wars." How was the wars? What was the wars like? You should be in office.
Yeah, John McCain, that's what he did. You know
right?
What I'm saying? Yeah.
I'm not mad at that, because shout out to the veterans. Like, if you go to wars, honestly, you should be able to scam for the rest of your life, because war is a scam. So if you go to the wars, rob everybody. You deserve.
Absolutely. Yeah. What if you grew up in a rough neighborhood? Anything for that? I don't know.
Also that. But, like, wars, yes. So it was discovered that this senator had a secret hand in a titanium mining company in Piney River, Virginia. Undercover agents spread rumors that one of the sheiks was interested in lending $100 million in exchange for Williams using his influence to obtain government contracts for this mine. So now the FBI is... setting a trap. They're like, "Let's spread some rumors and some gossip that, like, this fake sheik who is not actually going to give anybody any coins." Like, part of me doesn't fuck with this, because y'all are setting up illegal situations and being like, "What would you do?"
Like, Quinones, that show on ABC where they're like, "What would you do?" Like,
yes. It's too, How are y'all doing hypotheticals for crime? How am I getting caught in a hypothetical crime? I don't like that.
I kind of love that. It's like, would you
just leave your money out? I have to get me a good lawyer. I need a habeas corpus lawyer, because
I love
that. This is entrapment.
I love that.
No, in my opinion.
It's like leaving out a Chick-fil-A sandwich on a bench or something like that. You know,
box with a little stick underneath it, and I'm gonna go under there.
Oh Lord.
I'm gonna go under there.
I mean, yes.
As a good Christian gay, I was like, "Well, the gays is working at Chick-fil-A. I guess I'm still eat these sandwiches, because I'm supporting the community. Like, they working out here. If I don't come, then they not gonna have a job. The demand gonna be lower." So that's how I convinced myself to keep eating at Chick-fil-A.
Absolutely. But isn't that entrapment, though? What they're doing is borderline entrapment.
It's entrapment. And obviously, like, this is happening in the 70s. So maybe, like, entrapment was a little more of a vibe and you could just do it. But I'm like, don't catch me in hypothetical crime. Catch me in real crime.
Exactly.
I don't know. A meeting was set up to solidify the deal, complete with an agent from Ohio disguised as the Sheik in an Arab headdress and suit. So now we got costumes involved. This is a good scam. They're putting on all of the drag. Love it. They also met a second time, during which Williams offered the Sheikh permanent residency as well. So Williams really was like, oh, we doing crime? Like, yeah, I'll offer you things. When the Sheikh offered money in exchange, Williams rejected it and instead wanted his investment in the titanium deal. Okay, Williams, you smart. At this point, the New Jersey U.S. attorney, Robert Del Tufo, had issues with how the operation was heading. Of course, because it's entrapment. I would have had issues too. It was like, yo, this is crime. Y'all are doing crime to catch criminals. This is
crime. Criminals. Yeah, yeah.
He said, we weren't getting information and there was a lot of things way out of line with the Justice Department guidelines. Yes, because y'all are breaking the law. And that's why I hate propaganda and why this show is not like pro-propaganda is because we've all been conditioned and lied to think that police and people in the police state can break the law to catch criminals. We've all watched those movies where they're like turning your badge or your gun and the person still goes after the criminal when...
Yeah, because they have to. Because
their tired black sergeant or chief was like, you need to stop. You're in too deep. And they were like, I can't stop. And we've watched these movies. We're like, I can't stop. And then they do a bunch of illegal shit to catch a criminal. And we're like, that's fine because they're in the pursuit of justice. But it's like... I very much believe in cops and robbers. And what I mean by that is, like, if you are a smart cop, maybe you catch the robber. If you're not, you don't. And that's the equity of the world. They get away. Like, we can't be breaking the law to catch the robbers.
I'm sorry. Lacey, you're saying that, like, just if you have to, if you go over the line, that's a bad thing. That's what you're saying to me? You're saying that there's certain rights in the Constitution.
That's the restricted rights of being in the police state. If y'all are saying y'all follow laws and y'all enforce laws, then you have to follow laws catching people breaking them. You can't break the laws to catch somebody.
Yeah, but what if you are the law? You know, like, that's
the thing.
Yes.
No one is the law. The law is literally something that was made up by a bunch of old white dudes, and it changes all the time. And so if you assume that you are the law, which is our issue with the police, and you're not following the law, you're not upholding the law. So
I feel like what you're saying, like, makes sense.
Cops and robbers, if the robbers get away, you can't break the law to catch them. They just got away. They were better than you. You got to just let that go.
You're saying that. Remember Ronald McDonald? There was like that one robber guy.
Where's this guy? Hamburglar?
The Hamburglar. You would kill, who is a very impractical thief, by the way. You would kill the Hamburglar too?
Wow. Way to put words in my mouth. No. I'm saying that if the Hamburglar burgled the hamburgers.
Yes, which he did.
And they can't catch him legally, then let my guy eat.
Whoa. Come on, look, Lacey, chaos.
That's cops and robbers.
Chaos.
Let him eat.
Chaos.
Okay, y'all didn't catch him. Y'all weren't fast enough. I don't know how you didn't catch the motherfucker because he's in a white and black striped outfit.
Beretta Scott King did not march, so the Hamburglar.
Coretta don't got nothing to do with the Hamburglar.
Whoa, wow.
That's above her.
Wow. She is a citizen of the world. She is everybody. She is me. She is you. She's Hamburglar. She represents everybody and has everybody's back.
But, the FBI memos that were normally filed in cases were non-existent.
So yes.
So the mayor was like, remember, y'all doing too much. And then the memos that the FBI and the IRS were supposed to be taking, they were not uploading or downloading the memos. They were just doing crime to catch criminals. Additionally, Mel was getting a bounty for each case that he made, which wasn't supposed to be a part of the deal. So Mel done worked it out. So he's like, okay, y'all want to go get so-and-so Williams? It's going to be $100,000 a head for everybody that we get, and I want my coins. When you put the cuffs on, the coins need to come to my bank account. And that's illegal and weird.
That's deputizing. That's being like a sheriff that's putting a bounty on somebody. That's like that's great. That's old West stuff.
It's hella vigilante. It's hella wanted signs. Yes. Mel was even accused of operating a scam within the scam, as it appeared that he was trying to feed the target specific language to say that would earn an indictment so he could get his bonus. So he's entrapping these people. He's like, oh, yeah, Mr. Williams, like, we doing this mining situation for titanium. let's do Simon Says, repeat after me.
Right.
I would love to do collusion. Can you say that?
Kahlua. Do you want collusion with your drink?
I am breaking the government's law. Repeat that back to me.
Wow.
They entrapping. Most of the targets disgrace themselves, but some, it was difficult to decide whether they were genuinely looking for a bribe or simply believed that they were doing business the Arab way, as Mel told them. So Mel is telling them too, like, so the Arab way is where you lie to the government. The Arab way is where we get illegal citizenship for people. That's just the Arab way. And that's terrible. Kenneth McDonald, vice chairman of the Casino Control Commission, may have always been innocent. There was no evidence that he had taken anything or knew that what was going on or knew about Mel or anything. But the lead prosecutor still pursued his case. And any objections to his case were buried. So they were like, oh, we don't think that Kenneth, the vice chairman of the casino board, Kenneth didn't know. Kenneth is a family man. He was at the beach with his kids. Like, and they were like, we're still going to get him. Kenneth will be buried. And poor Kenneth. Justice for Kenneth. So Kenneth McDonald passed on from cancer, seeking exoneration. Arguably, he was a victim of the government's marriage to Mel Weinberg. So they're saying Kenneth was a nice dude. And the government took him down, too, because Mel was like, I'm going to get my coins. I don't care who, I don't care from where, I'm leaving with something. And Kenneth was just like looking at the casino board like, doo, 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 how the slot machines doing? How we doing? Had no idea.
I didn't know the level of the game. I mean, it was like the movie's like, oh, cool, they pulled it off. But like this ninja was doing the most.
By any means necessary. They were putting people in jail by any means.
Yeah.
Entrapment, lying, forcing words in their mouth. They did not care.
Forcing and snitching. I love it.
So the scam goes public. This is the end. Okay. We're winding down. This still ongoing investigation became public in February 1980 when details were leaked by an unknown source to the New York Times. In the following months, AbScam caught Senator Harris Williams and six representatives, Frank Thompson, John Murphy. I feel like I'm reading like the Freak-a-Leak list, like Sabrina,
Keisha.
Yeah. So yeah, we got Frank Thompson, John Murphy, Michael Myers, Richard Kelly, Raymond Lederer, and John Jenrette. John Jenrette. Can't say that. Sorry, John. In a network for play-to-play schemes, caught all of them. Threw the girls in jail, threw away the key. They were indicted and all later convicted, along with three Philadelphia councilmen and several other political operatives. Congressman Lederer was reelected under the indictment, but resigned when he was later expelled from Congress. So
Why?
He was running for office when he was getting indicted.
Let him be great.
He still won.
Exactly. How shitty of an opponent do you have when you're like, this is a criminal?
Now you're just throwing shade at Hillary.
Not even.
Donald Trump was a whole criminal. He told us that he only pays $750 in income taxes. And I was like, I would like to do that as well. But also,
right.
Crime.
Where's the line for that, right? Like, I'm in this line. I should be over in that line. Yeah.
He had a bunch of cases against him, assault cases, all types of cases, fraud, laundering, like, and still was president. So
paternity case. I think he was on Maury at one point. It's messy. You're right.
All the cameramen around Donald Trump are also like athletes who run marathons because they know they got to run with the camera. Because it's giving Maury, it's giving Jerry Springer, it's giving You Are Not the Father, and Trump got to run away and they got to follow him with the camera. Like, yeah, a criminal.
They don't quit.
Most others served several years in federal prison and were expelled from the institutions that they served. Mel went on to work as a private investigator in Florida before retiring. He died at the age of 93. Shout out to Mel.
Mel was a private investigator? What?
Mel loves mess. It's messy Mel. He was like, I love mess. I love to encourage people for mess. Oh, do you think your spouse is cheating? Great. I will be your Florida private investigator.
Yes.
I saw your spouse at the Sunco with another bitch, and he bought her some Slim Jims and a Mountain Dew. So you know she ratchet. and I got photos.
Oh my God. Of course, he was a private investigator in Florida. You know, he was like sweating out some Hawaiian shirts and stuff like that with some binoculars.
You know, he was perspiring and catching everybody in their lies. Mel, this is how you do criminality. This is a criminal career that I respect. He made it to the age of 93, got caught doing his fraud and told the government, oh no, I'm that girl. I'm actually the Beyonce of hoodwinks.
Well, actually, I mean,
of robbery. Yes. I'm the Beyonce. So like, you're not going to lock me up. You're going to let me stand and like, and then he was like, got a little scam going on with the government. Was like, I want 1,000 a head. That's not the figure. But like, he was like, for as many people as I'm tricking, y'all gonna pay me. Every time the squad car pull up, woo-woo, I want my money.
Jingle, jingle. I feel like there's only, Lacey, I've had such a good time tonight. I want to just tell you one thing. That what Mel did, I think, ascends to something it's not criminal. It's called arbitrage.
Oh.
You know arbitrage?
Yeah, go on.
Arbitrage is like when you, if you really like, if we pull out bird's eye view, shit is illegal. But like, if you're within the letter of the law, but not the spirit of it, meaning you have zero morals, but you're doing ethical stuff barely, that's called arbitrage. Okay, unethical, but not immoral. Let's put it that way. Unethical, but not immoral.
It's also given amoral.
Okay, so maybe amoral. But there's a word for it, and that word is arbitrage. When you're a biscuit away from committing a crime. And I think that's exactly what Mel was.
This to me, I'm like, look, let the scammers win sometimes. You lost. You played and you lost. Yeah. This is to me like if you're playing Monopoly, which is a long game, and I have an injury, I have a scar from Monopoly from my cousin Germanica. Because Monopoly always ends in fights. It's a violent game because it's capitalism. And so when you start losing bad. People start stealing. They start, you know, hiding money, stealing from the bank. And
waterworks. Yep. All that. Yep.
But it's like, for me, it feels like you're playing Monopoly with a criminal and you start losing. And instead of just taking your L, you flip the game board over and end it. And that's why I'm like, let the criminals, they won. You should have just let them win. Like,
true. But I feel like Mel definitely beat them all. That's some
Mel won.
Yeah.
Shout out to Mel, because Mel really won as a scammer. He was like, I'm going to rob everybody. The government, y'all, whoever. The fake shake. Mel got his coins. So
a Scamerican hero. Is that what you're saying?
A Scamerican icon. Truly.
Yeah.
True. And guys, we're going to take a quick break for some non-scam advertisements. We'll be back for the saddest part of the show. The end where I have to let Jordan go.
Y'all let me go.
Robbery!
Back in the 90s, Pepsi and Coca-Cola were in a heated race to try and win loyal customers by any means necessary. But when Pepsi launched an ambitious promotion that encouraged people to buy Pepsi and redeem points for prizes, they overlooked their own fine print in a major way. On each episode of Wondery's podcast, The Big Flop, comedians join host Misha Brown to chronicle one of the biggest pop culture fails of all time and try to answer the age-old question, who thought this was a good idea? Like, who at Pepsi thought it would be a good idea to advertise that people could earn enough points to redeem a military jet as a prize? When they launched their Pepsi points system, they never imagined somebody might try to actually snag it. But a 23-year-old did, and suddenly, Pepsi owed him a jet. Follow The Big Flop wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, morning. How'd you sleep?
Amazing.
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 When did they get here?
I didn't even notice.
Mommy, I want pancakes.
Get the best sleep of your life with a little help from the experts at Ashley. Discover the all-new Tempur-Adapt Collection by Tempur-Pedic. Designed with body-conforming technology and motion absorption that helps minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt Collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
And fraud! And we're back. And it's time for Scammer of the Week. This is where we highlight an honorary charlatan who may or may not be worthy of our praise, and let's see how we feel today. All today, right. We're talking about John Oliver. He's trying to scam the scammers of Congress. During a recent show, he described, I love this. During a recent show, he described data brokers or companies that collected everyone's digital data to bundle it and sell it to the highest bidder. So he's telling everybody about how if you have a free app, just know it's not free. Just know that anything that you have on your phone that was free to download or free to anything, Facebook, Twitter, any social media, the reason it's free is because they're going to steal your whole identity.
Right. Absolutely.
Everything about you, what you like, your preferences, when the things you want to buy. That's the reason why when we talk about shit, our phone be like, hey, girl, Amazon actually got a deal on this thing you was talking about. You was talking about Peloton. Do you want to buy it? Like,
yeah.
It's data mining. While some of these digital packages group together simple shared characteristics, some group people from vulnerable populations together, named such as help needed, I am 90 days behind with bills, or suffering seniors.
What?
So they're targeting vulnerable groups and being like, here go all the old people whose family don't call them.
Damn.
Here go all the people who are insecure about how their nose look. And here go all the people, you know, like they're grouping it. It's actually really diabolical. Brokers have been sued for selling these data packages to scammers looking to target those vulnerable people. Because they used to just sell it to advertisement companies and like, here's your demo. And now they're selling it to scammers like, you trying to do love fraud? We got some lonely old ladies over here. And they got full bank accounts. Wow. He and his staff purchased data for a group of individuals who shared many of the same traits as a lot of congressmen. Some of these traits include being age 45 and up. They were online with a 5-mile radius from Congress and searched terms like divorce, massage, hair loss, midlife crisis.
Wow.
Anything you Google, they go pick up. Not hair loss and midlife crisis. Now you Googling Corvette and they're like, we got you, bitch. No.
Corvette, absolutely. Hymns, Corvette. What else? Oh my gosh. Like probably resistance bands, pull-up bars.
Oh no. Right. Oh no. Using information derived from clicks on 3 ads. One was, is your marriage a prison? Another ad was, can I vote twice? And the last ad is Ted Cruz erotic fan fiction.
What?
Who wants to read about Ted Cruz? I don't want to think about Ted Cruz having sexuals. I can't. So they were able to identify several known lawmakers along with their questionable search histories. John then posed to lawmakers that might be listening that it might be time to think about passing laws to make releasing such personal information illegal. He ended with, you might want to channel that worry into making sure that I can't do anything, sleep well. I get it. It's a scam in the scammers because Congress is a scam. And he was like, look, y'all don't care about data mining. Y'all been greenlighting this shit. But also, this you?
That's kind of genius.
Maybe you should start voting against this because, hey, yeah. This you.
Yeah, this you out here. Wow.
Out here being out here.
Yeah.
So another scam within a scam to wrap up the episode, just like Mel was scamming the government and scamming everybody that they entrapped. John Oliver's like,
I love it. But that's a John Oliver show. John Oliver knows what he's doing. And it's
he's so good.
He's so good at it. And I just want to, I love when he's like, hold on a minute. You know, it's just like, it's the best. It's like I need that little nugget to get through my week. So it's like, yes. I'm not surprised by any of this. I think that John Oliver is sometimes when you make comedy like that, and I've written late night comedy with a political bent, you have to be a bit of a scammer in order to bring to light and put in high relief a truth about ourselves. To take that lens, spin it around and show what's up.
Right.
It's like super important. Because
this you gets people, it's like, you were fine taking these bribes like these other people when you thought it had nothing to do with you.
Right.
But now that we can look up you Googling penis pills, Ted Cruz, how do you feel? How do you feel that extends knows that Ted Cruz is trying to extend? How do you know?
Yeah, like, I mean, Ted Cruz has a heart anyway, so I don't know if he has any feelings. Whatever feelings he had died a long time ago. His daughter won't even kiss him. You know what I'm saying? He's trying to leave the country when the blizzard hits New York. Texas.
He went to Mexico when the power shut down. He went to Mexico and then blamed it on his family.
Because his family made him go to Oaxaca. Those vouchers were irredeemable. You couldn't redeem them. You know what I'm saying?
So I know his daughters were like, why am I in it? I didn't plan the vacation. I didn't book the flights.
Non-transferable. Can't refund them. You know?
You know? You're born to who you're born to. That's also a scam. You can't
Ted Cruz,
get
powerful
rid of the
senator.
People who made you.
Absolutely. Yep. But the road to anything through Ted Cruz is go through his daughters. And then you can get whatever you want from Ted Cruz. That's what that tells
Guys.
Me.
We've reached the end of this episode. We always ask Jordan, where would you like to be found?
Oh my gosh, where would I like to be found? I'm on Instagram at the realer Jordan Carlos. That's me. You can catch me on Twitter at Jordan Carlos. That's it. You know, keep it simple.
Or my podcast.
Please.
Yes, and name the podcast again, please.
The podcast is called Adulting. It's with the amazing Michelle Buteau. Look for it wherever podcasts. You can stream them. We're really excited about relaunching our podcast. It's going to be wonderful. So, it's exciting. Really exciting.
It's such a fun show. Y'all get into Jordan. You see, like, this is a long episode because we were having mess and it was a fun time.
Absolutely. We're cousins. We're cousins.
We did ancestry on the podcast and we're cousins. Guys, if you want to follow me in my mess, D-I-V-A-L-A-C-I, Diva Lacey on all platforms. If you want to snitch on your friends and family, just make sure the scams retire because we don't want to fuck up your bag. ScamGoddessPod@gmail.com and ScamGoddessPod on all platforms if you want to see all of the photos and the things that we were talking about in person. If you want to stream my TV mess, iCarly's out now, season 2 on Paramount Plus. Get into it. Congregation, stay scheming. Scam Goddess!
This has been an Earwolf production in association with Team Coco. Scam Goddess stars and is hosted by me, Lacey Mosley, a.k.a. Scam Goddess. It's produced by Judith Cargbo, engineered by Marina Faiz, and researched by Kaylin Brandt. Stay scheming!
This has been a Team Coco production in association with Earwolf.